السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نور الدين أدب اتيكيت is a very very important thing. In Urdu they say با أدب با نصيب. A person who has got adab, then he will receive, he will be fortunate. And be adab, be nasib. A person who got no adab, imagine you speak, you come this side, please. Muzakriya, the word is fine. Just come this side. Just come. So everything that we do, we must always see the etiquette of it. For example, the masjid is the house of Allah Ta'ala, so there's etiquettes. The person, he must start following the etiquette from the time he is proceeding to the masjid. Coming to the masjid, already he must realize that I am going for a meeting with my Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Mahmudul Haq Magda Sahib, Namad Barakatuh, always mentions this thing. He said, we are, by Desai, is there, you're facing some challenge there? Is there a problem there? You've got some challenge there? And just behave yourself and listen. Can't listen, go away outside. Simple. You can't pay attention and listen, go away outside. Otherwise, sit and listen, pay attention. There's no use sitting somewhere by force. You sit in a program, you must sit with talab. You're in Allah's house, you're listening to Allah Ta'ala's deen. Sometimes you show disrespect and the heart can get sealed. When is a person showing disrespect, the azan is going, for example, and a person is showing disrespect to the azan, right? That can have consequences. A person is a non-Muslim, and while the azan is going, he is mimicking the azan. Right? Because he is mimicking the azan, he becomes the muazzin of Makkah Mukarram. The magicians in the time of Musa alayhi salam, they dressed like Musa alayhi salam. They just copied his dressing. That became a means of their hidayat. They all became believers, and such believers that they were prepared to give their life also. They were ready for martyrdom now, prepared to give their life also. So this adab is a very important thing. So I was telling you that adab in the masjid. So Hazrat Mahmudul Haq Magda Sahib always mentioned, he said that now we're coming to the masjid, but we're talking about worldly affairs. We meet our friends, whatever, whether it's in the wuzu khana, in the shoe area, or on the way, and we're talking worldly affairs. Worse, if a person got a smoking habit, he leaves home, he has his supper, whatever, jump in the car, he's going to masjid, he's lighting a cigarette. Lighting a cigarette. So alhamdulillah, now if you have to tell a smoker this, he'll turn on and tell you, by 70 to 80% of the ummah is not even going for namaz. You worry about that. At least I'm going for namaz. At least I'm going for namaz. I'm smoking a cigarette on the way, but at least I'm going for namaz. 70-80% of the ummah not even reading namaz. Why don't you worry about that? Take care of that. So that is true. But what about our personal advancement, our personal progress? If we're going to keep looking behind and say, no, I'm better than others, and we don't look in the front and say that I need to improve myself, so when am I going to improve myself? When am I going to reform myself, improve myself? So we have to always look ahead at those who are doing more than us, better than us. This is what this tazkiyah and tasawwuf is all about. It's not just an entertainment or something. It's now we're checking how am I going to improve myself, cleanse myself, become a better person. So when we come into the masjid, then we should be connected with Allah Ta'ala. Nothing else. If we don't sort it out, then we'll find even we go Haram Sharif also, we can't behave properly. If we are people that we're sitting in the masjid, but we're busy with our cell phone. In the masjid, but every few minutes now our cell phone is on, message is coming, now we're checking, we're typing something, we're putting it. So now that same behavior will come with us to Haram Sharif also. We can be sitting in an ijtima, we can be sitting wherever, that same habit will be with us. But if we condition our mind that, look, I am going to Allah Ta'ala's house, I need to be connected with Allah Ta'ala. Right? So now everything else we have to disconnect. We have to disconnect from everything else. We have to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how we sit in the masjid, how we conduct ourselves, we don't give taklif to anybody else, we don't talk worldly affairs, we don't do anything that would disturb anybody. We're reading Quran Sharif also, but others are reading Salah, we don't even read loudly. We read softly. These are all different etiquette. How I entered, how I'm going to go out, these etiquettes are all very, very important. Then, for example, Quran Sharif. I'm reciting Quran Sharif. Now, sometimes people travel, they go overseas, they go Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawara. Then they see how the locals over there, how they treat the Quran Sharif. Put Quran Sharif on the floor. They don't. Now, maybe they got other qualities much better than us. But these things here, maybe they haven't been taught. Now, instead of taking their good and adding it on to our good, we go there and say, oh, so that's how you can treat Quran Sharif. Now, we too start treating Quran Sharif like that. We too start putting Quran Sharif down, not worried about keeping it elevated. You see them reading Quran Sharif, their legs are stretched out, they're reading Quran. Now we too want to do the same thing. No, Quran Sharif, ideally a person is want to read Quran Sharif. Obviously he should be in wudu, make miswak, etc., put some ether, sit down in tashahud posture, facing Qibla, and he must start making his tilawat. Yes, he's making tilawat for a long period of time. He needs to change his posture, etc. No problem. But when he's starting his tilawat, there must be utmost respect. Now this is the kalamullah. I'm talking to my Allah Ta'ala. I'm talking to my Allah Ta'ala. These are the words of my Allah Ta'ala. So there must be respect. How I hold my Quran. Carrying your Quran Sharif, hold it by your chest. Don't just hold it down. You're closing your Quran Sharif, you close like cotton wool. Don't just make a sound. Turning the pages with adab, slowly turn the page. The page of the Quran Sharif. Now somebody can ask you, but which Hadith Sharif tells you that? In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quran Sharif was not even in a book form, so who said must turn the pages slowly? Those who want to make those arguments, let them carry on. Let them carry on those arguments. But which Hadith Sharif told you you must polish your car? Which Hadith Sharif told you must polish the tires of your car also? One Mawlana from India, you know, years ago, came to South Africa. So they were bringing him to the masjid. So they passed one house, and the worker there was polishing the tires, you know, of the house, you know, of that car. So the Mawlana asked, say, kya south mein ye gari urte hai? He said, in South Africa, do the cars fly? Because you're polishing the tire, you know. Why are you polishing the tire? It's not going to get messed again. So do the cars fly over here so they don't get messed on the ground? Now when it comes to those things, and a person is doing all these extras, say, no, you must put what they put, armor or something, what? On top of the paint, they put something glaze, you know, so don't get stone chip, and don't get this problem and that problem. Then they don't say which Hadith Sharif says that and which Quran Sharif ayat says that. Then they say, no, you must look after your things. A ni'mat from Allah Pak. Allah Pak give a ni'mat, you must look after. So the Quran Sharif is not a ni'mat. The more love you show to the Quran Sharif, the more respect a person is going to show. So why is he showing that respect? Because it is the Kalamullah. It's Allah Ta'ala's Kalam. So is Allah Ta'ala not going to look at this person and see how he is respecting my kalam? He's respecting my kalam. Because it's my kalam, he's respecting it. So we must show utmost respect. The desk that we use for the Quran Sharif, whatever is connected to the Quran Sharif, we must show utmost respect. When we're putting our Quran Sharif down on the desk also, treat it more fragile than a baby. Put your Quran Sharif down nice. It mustn't make no sound. This is all adab. Everything has adab. Eating also has adab. A person is eating and making a big din, big noise. That goes against the adab. Not to say that you cannot talk while you're eating. You can talk, no problem. But the talk should be soft. And so much so we've been taught adab that while you're eating, you mustn't discuss all heavy, heavy things. Heavy masail or, you know, very intricate things you don't discuss while you're eating. The mood must be light, must be light. And then while you're eating, you don't talk nauseating things. Because everybody's tabiat is different. Everybody's temperament is different. Some people have a very nazuk temperament. Now you talk something nauseating, now the person can't eat after that. So that adab also we've been taught. Then we must wash our hand before we eat. We sit down to eat. This sitting down to eat, you see, when you say must sit and eat, we become so influenced by the kuffar lifestyle that if you say sit and eat, so sit and eat means sit on the chair. But that's the only definition of sit that comes to our mind. Whereas, Huzur-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his whole life, he never sat on a chair and eat. He never sat on a chair and eat. But today's time, this has become the norm, even in good homes. Even in good homes, it's become the norm. It's become abnormal to sit on the floor. And what's our bahana? What's our excuse? One person can't go down. One person can't go down, so the whole family doesn't go down. If one, there's one elderly person or somebody who got some udhar, somebody is mazur or something. So you got one person with that problem, so now the whole family doesn't go down now. So I remember Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib, down Barakatu, the Sheikhul Hadith, used to be the Sheikhul Hadith in Darul Mazadwar. So once he was invited for one walima, one of the students in the madrasa, their walima, you know, the person got married, so his walima was taking place. So Hazrat Maulana went there, and when he went there, you see, there's no dastarkhan. They only had, you know, seating on the table, no? Table and chain, no dastarkhan there. So he was going away. Now obviously, if he is coming there, all eyes are going to be on him, right? So when he turned around to go away, so people, they went to ask, you know, so he said, no, how are we going to eat like this? This is not how we eat. So then they closed up some tables and quickly they put dastarkhan. And if you really think about it, this eating on table and chair is a taklif. Somebody passes away, now we want to feed. Now we need trestles and chairs now. Now where are we going to get trestles and chairs? Now whose baki are we going to borrow to bring the trestles and the chairs? Why we give ourselves taklif? You can just take sheets, open it, put it on the ground and eat. Finish. That's the Muslim. But we adopt this lifestyle of the kuffar and we think we're doing wonders, big khidmat we're making. Trestles, chairs, all we're doing wonders. Wedding, walima, visitors are coming, all. We are people of the floor. We are people of the floor. Maulana Yunus Daya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Once there was one organization, it's supposed to be like an ulama organization, and they were having the AGM or something, and now they had everything set on table and chairs. And they had invited Maulana Yunus Sahib to give a talk there. So when he came there and he saw these tables and chairs, so he's asking him, what is this? What is this? We are people of the floor. We are people of the floor. We are not people of this table and chair. So the adab of eating is we sit on the floor and eat. We want the best of foods. But we don't want to follow the adab of eating. And it's become such a norm. I'm telling you, even in good people's homes, it's become a norm that we sit on a table and chair. So this we must change in our homes. Simple, simple sunnats we must bring into our home. Remove the tables and chairs. Sit on the floor and eat. Get our families in the habit of sitting on the floor and eating. This is adab of eating. This going to toilet, right? This Western pan has become a norm in our lives. So many students come to madrasa, they see Eastern pan, they are confused, they don't know what to do with this thing now. Whereas that is a natural way of going to toilet. It becomes such a sad situation that, you know, if you turn the clock back a little bit, you ask the older people, when masajid were built, so you go to the older masjids too, you will see it. If there's 5 toilets, 8 toilets, depending on the size of the masjid, 10 toilets. So if there's 10 toilets, so 9 toilets will all be Eastern pan. One you will get one Western pan, that in case somebody got some injury or something, needs to use it. Now you go to the new masjids that are being built. Millions and millions are being spent on these masajid. You battle to find the eastern toilet. You don't know whether you're in the airport or you're in the masjid. You don't know whether you're in a petrol station or you're in the masjid. You know, some petrol stations before, they used to have one eastern fan. So you'll find the people queuing up, not waiting. Those who use eastern fan, now they're waiting for the Now they have all western toilet, only one eastern fan there. And people will make it a point of stopping at that garage, because there is an eastern fan there. Because they can't use that western toilet. But today is gone opposite. Today in our masjids you can't find. In the masjid toilets you can't find eastern fan. They're all using western fan. Now why I'm mentioning these things to you is that see, slowly we are chipping away at our deen. Slowly we're chipping our deen and we're not realizing it. We're not realizing what we're doing. Slowly we're chipping away. Just now we'll have nothing left. We'll have nothing left. So we must check the adab. What is the masnoon way of doing things? Sunnat way of doing things? What is the adab, the etiquette of doing things? And we must follow that adab. Follow those etiquettes. Follow those adab. Sometimes we think that these are small things. But if they were so small, then why you get so many ahadith teaching us about it? Today we think, no, politics. It's a big thing. You talk politics now at night. Now we having a discussion now. This man knows his things. Now we're talking politics. Where's the ahadith on the politics? But go and check how to wear your pants. How many ahadith on that? How to eat, how many ahadith on that? How to bark? All these things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. But today when we talk about these things, all small things, man. There's big things happening in the world. We're talking about all these small things. See, what's the big thing happening now? Say, Gaza, Palestine, right? That's the big thing happening currently. Sudan, we don't even know what's happening because not in the news. And Syria, we don't know what's happening because not in the news. But same thing's happening there too. Sudan, Syria, all, same thing's happening there. Right? See, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm mentioning this as a lesson for myself, for yourself. This Gaza, Allah Ta'ala make it asan for them. Allah, you know, grant his nusrat, grant the mujahideen assistance, you know, and remove the zulam, etc. However, this Gaza, as much as whatever came in or went out was controlled, that the entry points, exit points, was all controlled by the Jews, right? The Jews will decide what comes in, what goes out. All that. But, who was running the place? This Gaza is not run by the Jews. There's 90%, if not more, population is Muslim. Right? There's a little bit Christians there, but 90% population, if not more, is all Muslim. Right? So in all the years that they are there, they are running the place, did they establish Allah Ta'ala's law? When the time came for them to choose who's going to be their leader, who's going to be their ruler. So they say we'll have democratic elections. See, so why I'm giving you this example is that we too must look in our life. How do I run my life? How do I run my life? By the laws of Allah Ta'ala, or by what's trending, what's fashionable, what's in society, what's in? By right, if for example we are having some family function or walima or something, we only supposed to see dastarkhans. Because it's a Muslim function. You only supposed to see dastarkhans. In one corner you put one table there, or some baji can't go down, somebody is paralyzed, they have to sit on top, somebody got a broken leg or something, they're sitting there. But other than that, you should only see dastarkhans. But ours is the opposite. You'll only see tables and chairs. Now we did, we called it, another Mauli Sahab there, and another one, yeah, he was talking in the bayan, that they were just put on dastarkhan here for them and keep them happy. But where is the establishment of the sunnah? Where is the establishment of Allah Ta'ala's law? That is not there. We are not passionate about our deen. Until we don't become passionate about our deen, right? Then how we expect to draw Allah Ta'ala's help? How we make our children dress, activities that we engage in, what we do, our pastimes, etc., how we behave, what we do, how we dress. This is all showing Allah Ta'ala how serious we are about our deen. So we have to, this is what reformation is about. Right? These are just few things that we spoke about, but there are many things in our lives. Many, many things in our lives. So we need to check in our life. Remember, we cannot dictate to Allah Ta'ala how I want to practice His deen. I have to practice Allah Ta'ala's deen how Allah Ta'ala wants me to practice His deen. Otherwise, why did Allah Ta'ala send Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So many Anbiya Alayhimu Salaam had to get martyred. So many Sahaba Rinnanum had to get martyred. How much had to happen because Allah Ta'ala wanted to show us properly how to follow this deen. And today we just pick and choose one or two aspects here and there. What makes us feel happy, then we feel very pious about that. Right? And we just carry on. It can't be like that. It can't be like that. We have to become serious about our deen. That every aspect, slowly, slowly, we must bring it into our life. And whatever we haven't got in our life as yet, be remorseful. Don't justify. Don't say, no, that's not important, this not important. No. Be remorseful. See, I don't have this in my life as yet. Ya Allah, forgive me. And don't be like the Islamic schools. Or not Islamic schools, Muslim schools. The Muslim schools, from the time they started, they said, no, we're busy, we're changing, don't worry, we're changing. Make dua. We know we got our shortcomings, but just make dua, it will come right. Don't be like that. We have to set goals, and we have to have timelines, and we have to put ourselves right. You can't just keep saying, I know in my weakness now I'll see, in my weakness now I'll see. Yeah, it's my weakness. So if it's my weakness, I must sort it out then. with my weakness, I must sort it out. Imagine you got somebody come steal in your shop. Person comes steal in your shop. Now, how you react? Now, if he say, no man, just give me some time. You know, I'm busy trying to change. I'll carry on stealing. I'll come now and again. I'm changing. When I'm changed, I'll tell you. Then after that, you must say, you. Till then, don't get angry with me. After I finish change, and then if I steal, then you must get angry with me. Will we accept that explanation from him? We won't accept that explanation. There we want that man, he must put himself right. Right now, he must sort himself out. So we too, we have to look in our life. If there are fara'is that I am not carrying out, I have to put that right immediately. If there are haram things in my life, I have to get rid of it immediately. Then I must go to the category of wajib. That too I have to bring immediately. Sunnat-e-mu'akkada I have to bring immediately. Right. After that I got some grace. Sunnat-e-ghair-mu'akkada, mustahab, nafal. Right. I said, no, wait. Now slowly, slowly, I must start bringing these things one by one into my life. But I got haram things in my life. I'm not fulfilling fara'is. And I'm saying, no, yeah, no, don't worry. I'm changing. Don't worry. Take it easy. I'm busy changing. It doesn't work like that. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. Give the entire ummah tawfiq. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ahli Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة حسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان اللهم سلمنا لرمضان وسلم رمضان لنا وسلمه لنا متقبلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين